Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 388 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Robin Rouse. Robin lives in Melbourne, Australia, and she is a data analyst. Welcome, Robin.
Hi.
It's great to have you here today. And I always love talking to people from down under because you are in the future. We're recording this. It's Tuesday where I live and Wednesday where you live. Whenever I'm talking to somebody who's in your neck of the woods, it's usually later. I haven't opened my window yet. It's 4 p.m. and I'm waiting to open my window. And you will be waiting to open your window as well. When do you normally open?
I've got hours, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 or 5, depending. Yesterday it was 6, but just
flexibility.
Yeah, moving it around. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Obviously, like everybody else, there's multi-parts to the story, but November 2020, for me, I had eaten my way through lockdown. I live in Melbourne, but I'm actually a Kiwi, if you can hear that in my voice. We had had two massive lockdowns, like 3-4 months long, and I had eaten my way through. I had one daughter at uni who was at home full-time and two kids at school, one in her final year of high school, and my husband at home. And so we just got into the habit of dessert lunch every day, and I just baked and baked and baked, and it was great. It was a good family time. My kids are quite studious, so I wasn't having to crack the whip behind that. But yeah, so it was just the eating. We had a lot of eating, and got to November 2020 and I went to the doctor for, I don't know, some random thing. I cannot even remember what, but we did some blood work and I had some bad liver results. Wasn't fatty liver, but I had some bad liver results. And he said, well, Robin, you know, you could probably look at maybe losing some weight. I'm like, okay. And at that time I was 51, right? And so I went home and I downloaded every salad recipe I could find. And we had the summer of salads.
I forgot, yeah, summer of salads. Me up. So, all right, I need to lose weight. In my mind, that must be salads. And by the way, everybody, they got the opposite seasons there. So we're having winter, they're having summer. So she was going to have the summer of salads because that's what you do. You eat a salad.
We started November, so summer for us starts on the 1st of December, and went December, January, February. And on the 11th of March, I was talking to my sisters, and I said I was lamenting. I have two sisters in New Zealand, and we get together a lot, and we were having a video conference together. And I said, look, I've had the summer of salads, and I've lost a kilo and a half, which convert that. I don't know what
it's not very much.
Conversion, yes. Anyway, I've got my conversions over here. So a kilo and a half. And my younger sister said to me that she had just listened to your podcast and there was a Kiwi on there. Her name was Heather. And so this was 2.5 years ago. And so I went and listened to that and very impulsive, started the first day. But the conversation I had with my sisters at the time was like, I really like breakfast. There's absolutely no way I can do it. But I had got to the point of having 3 months of salads and not losing the weight that I thought, hey, look, I need to do something else. So yeah, so started the next day. And I remember that week, you know, typically a church Bible study on the Thursday morning and they said, well, let's have morning tea. And I'm like, oh, what am I going to do about that? So I got my little selection of food and I put it on the table beside me and I watched it until 11 a.m. and then 11 a.m. I could eat it.
You delayed it.
I delayed it. Yeah. So the 14 hours sort of straight away. And I downloaded your book, Fast Feast Repeat. And I found the science very interesting, which was interesting because I hated science at school, but I just found that really interesting and bought into the whole thing. And I decided I'd do it all by myself. And I didn't even tell my family I was doing it. So they just sort of carried on the.
And that's it. And it came from your sister suggested it.
Yeah. And it came from, oh, I told my sisters, but I didn't tell my husband or my kids. Oh, okay. Yeah. So that went on for a couple of months when they were just like carrying on their lives and not noticing that I wasn't eating breakfast and then sort of stretching that out. And look, to be honest with you, I've drunk black coffee since my early 20s. I stayed with my older sister when I was in my early 20s in her flat when she was flatting with friends and they didn't have any milk. So I thought, well, I'll try coffee without milk. And I haven't had milk in my coffee since then. So I'm happy with that.
That is so lucky because you didn't have any bad habits.
Correct.
That you had because that's a real stumbling block for a lot of people.
So I did that, weighed myself religiously, decided I would aim for 5 kilos a season. So, and it ended up being bang on that. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's good.
So, but prior to that, I had done Weight Watchers between my second and third child. I went to Weight Watchers. My mum had said, hey, look, you probably need to lose a bit of weight. And she'd been involved in Weight Watchers and things over the years. So I'd tried that. But hitting menopause, just nothing worked until fasting. And this works.
That is really something that I think is worth mentioning. Women go through menopause and our hormones change. And we are not the same physically as we were before. I was listening to the Zoe podcast that just came. We were recording this in December. It came out at the end of November, the episode. And Sarah Berry, do you ever listen to the Zoe podcast? Sarah Berry is one of the researchers with Zoe. And she's a tiny little thing. And she talks about going through the transition herself. And all of a sudden, she had a little belly fat. Like, boom, there it was. You know, it's not because she was eating differently.
Yeah, it's so weird that clothes that used to zip up. I mean, obviously people can't see, but I'm bigger on the top, but all of a sudden I was bigger in the middle and things wouldn't zip up the same. It's just frustrating because that hadn't happened before.
They had an expert on explaining it, an expert who studies menopause. And really, like some of the things she said, like what we don't even still know about why some of these changes happen. But she talked about how our body starts putting fat around the midsection, something to do with so it can produce its own estrogen. I mean, I was like, what? I mean, the body fat is like an endocrine organ. It's, anyway, there's a reason our body does that.
So much we don't know. And I think we listened to a podcast, my sister and I, recently. Well, I was in New Zealand just last month, and we were listening to this podcast about menopause. And often people say, oh, menopause, hot flush. Hot flush is like symptom number 8. There's a lot of symptoms prior to that before. There's so much to it.
There really, really is. But it's the time that we're finally, as women, not feeling like, well, it's all my fault that I'm putting on this belly fat. It's all my fault. My body. No, it's your body. It's changing. So it is what it is. So you talked about how you didn't really struggle with your weight growing up at all.
No. In fact, when I was really young, they used to call me skinny ribs because I was like, you know, I was skinny. And then I hit puberty and it was just seemed to put weight on, and that was frustrating. But at the time it was like, you come home from school and you have a honey sandwich, and then you sort of think, I need to lose weight. So you stop the honey sandwich and you lose weight. It's just, you know, whereas now it's, life's very different. But
it's so different.
So I got married in my 20s and I was comfortably, I was happy with my weight, let's just say content. Then I had my kids and it sort of went up and I went down and went up. And so after my second child, it went up a lot. And so that's when I went to Weight Watchers and I lost 15 kilos and then came back down to wedding weight, happy days, and then had a third child. And then since then, it's just crept up. And like everybody else says, you know, you get to the point where you're like, well, this is the weight I'm going to be. I'm just going to shop in big people shops, and that's just going to be my lot, until you hit a crisis point, which I did in November 2020 when I had this bad blood work. And I thought, you know, I have to start addressing my health. I can't just keep letting this go.
We all have that moment, whatever it is. Yours was a health issue and your doctor said, hey, lose some weight, which is, tends to be the standard advice, right? You've got this with your health, lose some weight is the answer. But when we come at intermittent fasting with the idea that we're going to do this, it's going to help us with our health. We're doing it for a health reason. And we'd like to lose some weight too. That's good. But that tends to be a very powerful why, doesn't it?
So I definitely, my focus at the beginning has always been the weight loss. But as people say, that switch of, this is a, what do you say, lifestyle plan, a health plan.
Health plan with the side effect of weight loss.
Exactly, yeah. Whereas, you know, we all come to it with the other way around. But yeah, just so many things, which we'll probably get into anyway with your non-scale victories, but absolutely amazing what I've noticed in the last 2.5 years. Absolutely amazing.
That's wonderful. We will definitely get into those. So when you started, you didn't tell your husband, you didn't tell your kids that you were doing it. Only your sisters really knew. How did you begin? Like, what did you do? You said you were at that tea and you waited till about 11 or 10. What did you do?
So I started not eating in the evening. So I have dinner and then stop eating and then go until maybe 11 o'clock in the morning. So I'd be, so that would be, give you a 16 hours from 7 p.m. until 11 a.m. And then from there, probably, it would have been weeks when I was pushing it out until 2 o'clock and sort of thinking to myself, I'm really hungry, I need lunch, I'll have a late lunch at 2 o'clock. So sort of that's sort of when it was. But quite quickly, so within those first 3 months, I had joined the Life app and I'm a data analyst. So of course I have all the data. And I just literally weighed myself religiously for 15 months every single day and then did the weekly thing and then charted all of that because that's a nice pretty chart.
Don't you get it. Let's just talk for a minute about that. Knowing the trend, doing that calculation, finding the data makes such a difference, doesn't it?
It does. It does to me because I live pictorially and I just love to see it. But yeah, able to chart that on a weekly thing and have that coming down. I also measured myself once a month. In the middle of the month, I would do all the measurements from your book. And then I charted all of that so that I could see that there was improvement. And I think that is just such a motivator for me.
Seeing something is changing, you know that it's working. If your measurements are changing, it's working. If your weight is trending down, it's working. If only one of those two things is trending down, it's still working.
Yeah, so that's what I did. And I set myself a goal of 5 kilos a season. So that first season, I included the 1.5 that I had lost over the summer. And so by the end of autumn, which for us is end of May, I had lost the 5 kilos. And then in winter, my birthday's on the 1st of September, so the first day of spring, I hit my target bang on for winter. So then it was 5 kilos after that. So in total,
I just did the math.
Yeah, sure.
for our pounds.
Northern Hemisphere.
Yes. So 5 kilograms is 11 pounds. So in a season is like, what is it, like 12 weeks-ish? So
13 weeks,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, 13 weeks. So 13 weeks. Yep, you're right. So right about just under a pound a week is what you were shooting for. And it worked.
That made me happy that I was hitting those targets. So overall, I've lost 22 kilos. So it's just, what is that in pounds? 49 pounds.
Yep, that's awesome. And it took you, did it take you about like a year to lose that?
Oh, 15 months. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So my dad died at the beginning of July last year. So 2022.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It was, he was in New Zealand. So I had to jump on a plane and go over there. And it was interesting talking to my sisters as well that things sort of stop working when you have different triggers or traumas or whatever. So I just stopped losing weight at that point. But the lifestyle continues. Like I'm exactly the same. I fast for around 21 hours a day. And it's just my body went, okay, that's enough. And it's just, and it just happened to be at the same time that Dad died July last year. So I'd been fasting for 15 months.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10 to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that fit in beautifully to my cleanish lifestyle, and the food is totally window-worthy. Tonight, we're having barbecue sweet potato tacos with cabbage and carrot slaw, black beans, corn, and cheesy tortillas, and they come with Green Chef's chimichurri sauce. So good. Go to greenchef.com/ifstories50 and use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/ifstories50. And don't forget to use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months.
I think that illustrates what an impact stress has on our bodies, and grieving is a stress, and emotions in our bodies like, all right, I'm taking a pause.
It's yes, it's been interesting to think about what grief is and how we grieve and what that looks like. My mum died 9 years ago, and the day of the funeral, I was steeled myself, you know, to get through it. And at the end of the day, I said to my husband, I think I did really well today. He said, yeah, I think we're going to pay for that later. And
it was going to come out.
And it was took a year. It took a year to get over it, you know, crying every day. So I think that you can't discount what these traumas do to your body. You just, it's all part of the system.
Well, it is. And you're right. It's going to come out. If we stuff it down, it's going to bubble out somehow, some way. It might not look like what you're expecting it to look like.
And it might come out in emotional eating or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
That's really true. A lot of us struggle with that. And, you know, listeners are hearing us talk about it and they're like, yeah, that's me. And it's very, very common. I think we're wired to do it from birth, right? To comfort ourselves emotionally. So you started off and you've ended up with about a 3-hour eating window daily.
So I started using the Life app 84 days after I started fasting. So, oh, the other thing I need to tell you, I wrote to you when I was 800 days fasting, 800 days in a row.
Awesome.
Do you remember that? But anyway, months ago. You get so many emails. That's fine.
Yes, I remember. No, I'm sorry. I don't remember that exactly.
I was so excited when 2 days ago I looked
this up.
That's
the day you asked. Yeah.
It's 1,000 fast today. It's 1,000.
Today is 1,000 fast.
Okay. I'm so excited.
That is cool. So that was a coincidence.
Yes, it was. Absolutely. Yeah.
Is that a coincidence?
It was so interesting.
Okay, I love it. That the universe.
Yeah, because you gave me two dates, and one of them was my sister's birthday, and the other one is my sister's wedding anniversary, which was today. So I selected today's one because I was with her for her 50th birthday last month. But when I looked it up, it was 1,000 days today fasted. So yeah,
that is just perfect right there. You know, that's the kind of thing that doesn't happen by accident.
Thank you.
Congratulations on 1,000 days fasted.
So when I look at the average coming out of the Life app, it's 20.87, so nearly 21 hours a day. And I've fasted every day. Some days I've tried ADF, and we might talk about that later, but I don't enjoy ADF. I don't enjoy the up day. I don't enjoy all the, I have to eat. You know, I'd much prefer just the everyday. And you know how you say sometimes you don't want your body to be adapted to what you're doing. So sometimes moving it forward, moving it back, and just moving that window around works for me.
There are gentle ways to give your body the up and down. You've heard me talk about upish, downish. I'm almost afraid to mention it again because people are like, tell me the rules for upish, downish. I'm like, okay, the fact that there's ish at the end should tell you there is no rule, right? Because we like rules. We're like, all right, tell me exactly what that looks like. But I get it because I don't do ADF. You know, there are certain reasons I would if I needed to therapeutically, but I don't. Maintaining, I'm right where I want to be. And my fasting insulin is low. And so I don't feel motivated to do it. I'm not going to say I wouldn't ever want to, but you could do an upish, downish approach where you have like a 1 hour window with one meal and then the next day, two meals in like 6 hours. I don't know. That's not a rule, everybody. That's just kind of down, kind of up.
And that's the really good thing about the system, that there are no rules and you kind of, I think you say, tweak it till it's easy. You just do what works for you. And just listening to this podcast and listening to the different stories from people and go, this worked, this didn't work. And you think, well, actually, maybe that doesn't work for me. And sort of giving yourself permission to go, you know what, that doesn't work. I tell you what I have discovered. There's quite a few things I have discovered, but my body does not like tea, does not like black tea. I can drink black coffee. I'm 94% caffeine, right? I cannot drink black tea on an empty stomach. It hits my stomach and I feel sick.
Does it make you queasy?
Yeah.
Me too. Any kind of tea on an empty stomach, green tea, I can't do green tea. I don't drink any tea at all. But yeah, it makes me super queasy on an empty stomach.
Yeah, I've tried quite a few times and then I thought, nah, I can't do it.
I think it's the tannins.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not
good.
You mentioned the whole idea of, you know, trying a tweaking it till it's easy and deciding it's not for you. Sometimes it's even true that a tweak is not for you right now and it might be right for you later. Like someone might try ADF, but it's too early and they're not really ready yet. And it like didn't work for them then. But then like in a year, it might be time to try it again. Just and see. I mean, but again, you have to be motivated. You have to have a reason to do it if you're trying to tweak something.
And I think I've been doing this for more than 2.5 years now, and there's still stuff I'm learning. And I think whether it's what my body's experiencing now or whether it's something I'm still working out for myself, I'm not sure. But there are a few things like I haven't really noticed a difference in my sleep. I'm still a terrible sleeper. And like everything I've read about fasting, people are like, oh, you know, I'm so good at sleeping now and I'm getting a full night's sleep. And I'm like, when's that going to happen for me? So there's a few things like that, the ringing in my ears. But I've recently learned that's another symptom of menopause. So is it menopause?
That's not
is
good.
It, do you know what I mean? It's like whether I'm discovering, is this me or is this just fasting for now or is this something I still need to learn? I don't know.
So you've struggled with your sleep since before fasting?
I've struggled with my sleep since I turned 40.
Okay.
So 14 years.
Wow. Now, have you ever had your progesterone checked?
Nope.
That's
no,
the game changer for sleep for me.
Writing that down.
Progesterone. I forgot to take my progesterone with me when I went and stayed at my sister's house for one night. I forgot to bring it. And I noticed a difference. I was going to stay for 2 nights. I'm like, I'm going home. I'm not staying for 2 nights. Yeah. It really makes a difference with sleep. Get your progesterone checked. Have your doctor check it and see. And an oral progesterone supplement at bedtime. It is like game changing for me. And I remember I interviewed a doctor years ago on the podcast. He talked about his wife and her progesterone, and they flew overseas and she forgot it and they had to have it FedEx. And I'm like, that sounds a bit extreme, but now I get it.
Especially if you're on holiday, you want to be, getting some good sleep.
Definitely check on that. But, I'm not a hormone expert. I'm just speaking of my own personal experience. It's been a game changer.
Written that down. I'm always open to new ideas.
Yeah, I take my magnesium right after dinner. And then right before it's time to get in the bed, I take my progesterone like probably 30 minutes before.
Maybe a week ago, I bought some spray on magnesium salt spray for my skin. So maybe that will see an improvement in coming weeks, but we'll see.
Well, magnesium helps us relax. That is true. But if you're having menopausal hormonal sleep issues, you might need just a little something else. Definitely do. But yep. So I'm sleeping great now, right? I was sleeping great. Then menopause happened. And then all my old tricks stopped working. I suddenly had to be in like a completely dark room.
We live like any kind on of the light edge of Melbourne, right in the bush on the way to the Yarra Valley, a lot of trees, a lot of birds, very dark. And we went and had a week in London a few years ago, right in the centre of London, so loud and so bright, even when the window curtains are shut, everything's really bright. And we came home, we sort of shut the blinds, and it was so quiet, it was lovely.
Dark and quiet. Yeah, I need those things as well. But so you talked about your ears are ringing. When did that begin? Did that start?
Menopause? I don't really know, but just stuff, that happens and you sort of think, I just wish that fasting would fix it.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily. Yeah.
The body does weird things. Chad has issues with the ears ringing. It started, I think his was caused by an antibiotic.
I think you said years ago on a podcast that it was too much sweet food, too much sugar, and could cause that. And I thought, that is me.
You can.
I am very much a sweet tooth. I have dessert every single night.
Oh, yeah. That for him, chocolate does that. If he has chocolate, his ears start ringing more. Yeah.
So, but even when I come off too much sugar, it doesn't seem to help.
Yeah. Well, I know that's miserable. That's one of those things like you're wishing it would help with. So when did you first tell your family that you were doing it? How long did you fast before they knew?
Was probably maybe 2 to 3 months in.
Okay.
Before I said to them, hey, look, I'm not eating breakfast. And quite frankly, I'm pushing lunch out.
And what did they think?
Yeah, they were pretty good. The kids were all fine with that. They're fine with it. And they're really good now. Like Brendan will say to me in the evenings, do you want a drink or have you shut your window already?
Love it. And how old are your kids?
Yeah, you're using the language. Well done. I've got two at uni now. The second one's just finished. So I've got a 23-year-old, a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old. So my 17-year-old's got one more year of high school.
Well, and you're modeling. We fast, then we feast, then we repeat. So they can see you. They see that you're not, scared of eating. You eat well when you eat.
Yeah, I eat very well when I eat.
And your husband, he was fine with it?
Yeah, no, he's fine with it, yeah. So, and it's good. Like, I'm a cheap date when I go out. What do you want? I'll have a black coffee.
Unless your window's open, and then it better be good.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll have all of the things, yeah.
So do you work from home?
I do.
I thought you did, because before we started recording, you talked about the stuff that's on the wall behind you. And I want to talk about that because, I know more and more people are working from home, but someone in the community today, she had a slightly different situation. She's at home, but she's a mom homeschooling her kids. And so, but I know that sometimes people who are working from home or home with kids struggle because there's always food around. Like, do you find that to be a challenge for you?
I don't go into the kitchen except to get black coffee. I have a coffee machine and I go and press the button, get myself a coffee, and I come back to my office and I shut the door. But I tell you what, Jen, if there was one reason to do fasting for me is the 2 o'clock. My brain just cracks into gear at 2 p.m. and I'm so creative at 2 p.m. And I contrast that to years ago when I would stop to eat for lunch, then you get that sleepiness in the afternoon and you're just not functioning. But for me, it's been the absolute turnaround. And if it was only that, I would do fasting.
You get that ketosis. That's when your body is flipping that metabolic switch. You can just feel it.
Yeah. And just my brain is just
sharp,
going flat tack. Yeah. Sharp.
I love it. And you're
creative.
Right.
I think that's.
There was that slump. So every day at 2, we used to have a slump and now we have that energy.
Kick. That's great.
I love that. I love. So you just stay in your office. You're not in and out of the kitchen.
No, and that's the beauty of this house is the kitchen's way over there and my office is way up here. So I don't have to pass it. I don't go through it. But the other thing that I have learnt with fasting, and I would never have thought of this 2.5 years ago, but I have discovered my superpower, and that is I can bake whilst fasting. I still love baking. Like, you know, I was saying in 2020 and I ate my way through lockdown. I love to bake. I love to fill the biscuit tins and have a lot of bread products and croissants and chocolate caramel slice and just all of the things. And I can bake all of that without licking the spoon.
Now, see, I admire that because I do all of my sweet treat baking during my eating window.
Yeah.
I schedule it that way on purpose. I mean, I could do it. I wouldn't be, you know, licking. I would be fine. But I like to lick the, that's one of my favorite things, lick the batter if it's a sweet treat.
And I always used to, but I have discovered that I love to bake in the weekend, like on a Saturday or whatever. We do tennis in the morning and then in the early afternoon, I'll get into the kitchen and I'll make some cheese and spinach scrolls to throw in the freezer for the kids' lunches for the week. And I do all of that sort of on a Saturday. And I can do all of that baking without, like, the kids are around. So if I need anything tested, they can come and test it. But yeah, I just don't eat. I just don't snack like that anymore, which is, it's been mind blowing to me that I'm able to do that. Crazy.
It really is. You look back to how you used to live.
You know, my mum, I always used to laugh. I'd go into the kitchen when my mum was baking when I was a kid and she'd have sellotape across her lip.
Oh, no.
Like that. So she said she wouldn't eat. It was just a little reminder to her not to eat. So she put a piece of sellotape across her lips.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Well, yeah, you got to use the strategy that works for you, right? I'm a big fan of finding your tools. Her tool.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a different kind of tool.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's what she used to do. She's pretty
that's
funny.
A great memory. But I love that you can bake while you're fasted, no trouble. When I referred to like a stay-at-home mom with the kids who are at home, that was one of the situations a lot of stay-at-home moms have trouble with, preparing food for the kids while they're fasting.
Before I lost the weight after my second child at Weight Watchers, I would prepare my daughter's lunch for preschool and it would be like a cracker for the box and a cracker for me. And just any sort of preparing food for little kids is hard because I know what it's like. When am I going to get my lunch? I might as well just have some of these kids' snacks and they taste terrible, but you know, you eat them because they're just there. But when your kids are older, it is a little easier because if you want something to eat, please go help yourself. I'm not going into the kitchen right now. Yeah.
I mean, and you know, having the little kids and the younger kids, it's a stressful time if you've got little kids at home. So if you're wanting to eat again, we talked about that emotional eating that pops up. Definitely you can feel emotional when you're at home with kids and you're having a hard day. They're melting down. And
so, yes, life gets a little bit easier when they are able to look after themselves.
Exactly. Now, I want to go back to the data part. When you were weighing daily and calculating your weekly average, what tool did you use to calculate your weekly average or find your trend? Did you do it like Excel? Did you write it on paper?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. No, I'm Excel through and through. That's what I do for work. So I use Excel and Power Query and all of the things to manipulate the data and get it into the form that I want.
So you set up an Excel spreadsheet and you just entered your weight every day and then it would show you your average once a week, or did it give you like a moving trend?
Oh, no, once a week.
Okay.
Then you could see the trend and then I would say across a month or across a season, how much have I lost? And so I have all of that data that I can look back on.
I wanted to hear what you said, because you know me, you heard me say that I wrote it on paper. I'm I'm a tactile person as well. I like to write it down. The writing it down kind of helps me. And I liked actually, you know, pulling out my calculator, doing that math. So you're probably like, what? That sounds crazy.
And it's so interesting because the more sophisticated my system gets, the harder it is for me to operate in other spaces. Like my daughter said to me recently, Mum, why don't you go to a cafe and just go and work at a cafe? Just, you know, give yourself a change of scenery. Because I can't leave my enormous screen and my sit-stand desk and all of the fabulous things that I have that make my life easy.
Well, I love data. And when I was a teacher, I had a principal, my very first principal that I taught with. She was amazing. Her name was Lynette Reinhardt. She passed away maybe in the early 2000s. I taught with her in the early 90s, but she was an amazing woman. And she was having us analyze data back in the early 90s when no one else was doing it. Like we had to find the data in our classroom, and she was a pioneer. And I loved it. Like you could really see a lot of things when you examined the data.
That's why we need to tell stories with data, because it's so interesting to bring people to a place where you want, there's a call to action, for example, that you want them to do something. But when you tell the story in a way that they arrive there before you get there, do you know what I mean? Like they get it. Like you're telling the story and they're like, hey, yeah, I see that. And then when you ask the question, they're ready to go. Do you know what I mean? Like
I do.
Yeah. So, and I just think my data is so interesting like that. But I get really frustrated when people go, here's the data and it's in a table. It's just like,
oh, yeah, because it's not visual.
It's not visual. Yeah. So I'm very pictorial.
It means nothing.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
You got to take them on a journey and, yeah.
It needs to be visual.
Yeah. So, and another part of what I do is I design surveys. So this is my job. I design surveys and I send them out, collect all the data, bring it back, analyze it, write a report, right? Write it, do a story. And just even thinking right back to the beginning on how we ask a question and how you lead people on a journey. So when you want them to fill in a survey, you want them to feel like at the end of it, I've had plenty of opportunity to say what I think. I've been able to vent. They will be able to use something with what I've said and it'll be useful. And it's almost therapeutic. Do you know what I mean? So you're actually designing something so that it takes somebody on a journey. So when they get to the end of it, they're like, hey, just even like doing this podcast, you're sort of thinking, this is not about me telling my story. This is about me helping somebody else.
Oh, I love that. I love the way you said that you're telling the story with data and that you're taking people on a journey and designing how it's going to look is really, really important.
That's what I do.
You took that data that you entered on the Google, I use Google Sheets.
On Excel.
You entered on. Well, yeah. I could never really make Excel work for me. Excel is hard.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
For me.
No.
Yeah, love it. It's not intuitive for me. I don't know why.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot in it. But look, it's fantastic if you can get your head around it.
It does a lot of things. Like I know that it does. But you also had it make a graph for you, right? Like you had it.
Absolutely. Just, yeah.
Yeah. It does so many things. But yeah. So when someone is, you know, doing intermittent fasting, how can they tell themselves the story with data?
Well, I would chart it. That's the first thing. You put your time on your x-axis and you put your weight on your y-axis and you just draw the picture so you can just get your average for, well, so I use a pivot table, right? So I say to the pivot table, for every 7 days, take the average and then chart that and just watch the number come down. But also make the scale sensible.
I know what you mean. If the scale is, if the vertical axis is that X, that's why, see, it's been a long time since if the Y axis is your scale, and if the scale is like each little box is 100 pounds, you're not going to see any change. But if every box is quarter of a pound or something, you're going to really be, it'll show you more of a dramatic.
And once you get into Excel, you're not going to break it, right? So just start clicking on things and seeing what you can change. Yeah, and just start clicking on things and seeing what you can change, because there's just so much in there.
You would not be surprised to know that I also hand plotted myself a little line graph. By hand. Look, I was an elementary teacher. I taught people how to make line graphs by hand, and you might not believe that since I just had to think of what was the X and what was the Y, but it's been a long time. I retired in 2018, but I haven't thought about that in a while, but I would put that little dot right on there, and then I would connect from the last week. with my pencil, and it was like taped on the inside of my bathroom medicine cabinet.
Well, the joy of what I could do is when you put it in Excel, then you just take a snapshot of it or you change it into a picture, and then you can share it with my sisters and say, look, this is what's happening. So you can, I guess what I can do with the data is I can share it. I can share it with other people and go, this is what's happening for me. So yeah, it creates some accountability, and it also just sort of creates community, really, that you're working with other people towards a shared goal.
Sharing that data really is powerful, but knowing your trend and having that average and seeing what the trend is doing really is a life-changing way of looking at it, because the fluctuations can hide what's really going on.
Yeah, because don't look at the daily, because even now, like, I've lost 22 kilos, but some days, like, we went to Singapore in October and I came back and I had just crept up a little bit. So it was like put on sort of 2 kilos, but then you do a little bit more fasting and it comes back down again. So it sort of, it fluctuates. But if you were doing that every day going, oh my goodness, I've just put on a kilo, then you'd be really disappointed. But you've got to look at the trend and the averages.
Exactly. I just think that's really, really important, because the fluctuations just, they don't tell the story, because you can gain several pounds overnight just because you ate a meal that caused you to retain water and you need to poop.
I can't believe you just said that.
I said poop, sorry. You know what I mean, though?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
It's real world. But, you know, knowing what your trend is doing, because eventually that'll tease itself out in the data if you give yourself some time. So let's talk about some of your non-scale victories.
Okay. So we've talked about my 2 p.m. creativity that kicks in. My hair went curly, which was really interesting. My hair went curly. So I had, and it was maybe, it wasn't even in my weight loss time, but after that, so maybe 6 months after that, I went to a 21st birthday and my girlfriend said to me, oh, your hair looks lovely. And I'm like, yeah, I just stopped caring for it. But it just, it did its own thing and it went curly, and it's just so much easier now. Look at that.
It's very pretty. It's nicely curly. I love it.
Thank you. My mum died of melanoma 9 years ago. And so every single year I go and see the dermatologist, and I had this little lump under my skin on my leg. And she said to me, the lump's disappeared. And I'm like, oh, there you go. That's fasting.
That's so amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, yeah. So those kinds of things have happened. My blood numbers are a lot better. Like my doctor quit after that time. The next year he finished up. And so I saw another doctor, went back and got my blood work done after a year. And I said to him, how's it going? And he said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. So that was really, really good underlining of the fasting in my actual blood numbers. So that was good. My skin is a lot smoother and my clothes fit a lot better, which is fantastic.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah. That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
It's 3 o'clock somewhere. Time for a My Mochi ice cream snack. My Mochi ice cream is cool, creamy scoops of premium ice cream wrapped in sweet, pillowy dough. And get this. All of My Mochi's fabulous flavors, like strawberry, mango, double chocolate, and cookies and cream, are only around 80 calories per piece. Talk about a guilt-free, indulgent experience. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned, gluten-free mochis that are great for grab-and-go. So feel good while curbing your afternoon cravings, or the midnight munchies. Yeah. You know who you are, with the joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream. Find My Mochi ice cream at Target or visit MyMochi.com to locate a grocery store near you.
I bet. So, and how about the liver issue that sent you to the fasting in the first place?
That's good. That was the blood numbers that came back. And yeah.
Okay.
And he said it's
all cleared
better.
Up.
So that's, yeah. So this new doctor was saying, because he looked at the old numbers and he looked at that and he goes, yeah, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. It's going well. So there was that. I think just in terms of, I can taste the processed food. We went to Singapore in October. My husband had a day of work and he said, do you want to come? So we went for 5 days and we stayed in the hotel, which came with breakfast, right? And we went down there the first day and I'd been fasting for 15 hours at that point. And I said, what am I going to do? I still haven't had my interview yet. So I wanted to stay fasting every day until then. So here we are, day 1,000, but I had been fasting for about 15 hours. And my husband said to me, hey, look, you're on holiday. Why don't you just take a break?
15 hours. That's
right. And he said, why don't you just take a break? Why don't you just have breakfast and we'll count it as a holiday. And I'm like, yeah, okay, well, I've got to kind of make this fasting lifestyle work for me and it has to move with whatever I'm doing. So I had breakfast. Oh my goodness. It was so disgusting. It was just the food was all like little sausages, but I don't know what they had and it was disgusting. So anyway, I said to my husband, that's it. I'm not doing breakfast on holiday. And I didn't even do lunch. So they had dried fruit and some nuts. So I just took those back to my room. And then later in the day when I felt like it, I would break my fast with these little nuts and dried fruit. But yeah, I did not enjoy the breakfast. So I can kind of taste that. So I think that's a non-scale victory that I'm actually tasting what's in my food. And the other thing is IKEA have this cake called a Darm cake. Do you know the one? It's like an almond Darm
cake. What's it called?
D-A-I-M.
Okay, no,
yeah,
I don't know that
one. It's yummy. It's okay. Well, it used to be yummy, and it's a nice flat cake, and it's chocolate and almonds and all of the things. When I taste it now, it tastes like wax. So it's just really weird. So I think that is another thing for me that my tastes have changed.
Yeah, I can't eat cheap chocolate or cheap candy.
Well, why would you?
That
why
really
would
just
you
tastes-
waste the calories? So-
well, it's just not good. Like, I actually was at Kroger, it's a grocery store here. And my window was open and they have a Starbucks in there. And someone had been telling me about this new flavor of holiday, whatever, whatever. And my window was open. I'm like, you know, I would like to try the new holiday flavor. Nope, still tastes like rat poison to me. I can taste the chemicals. And I used to think that tasted good. So that is just one of those things. It's like a bittersweet because I would have liked, like people are all walking around the store sipping their coffee and enjoying it. And I'm like, garbage, throwing it in the trash. I just wasted $6.
That's the thing though. And I kept saying to my husband, because we were in Singapore and we were shopping one day and I said, oh, I don't really like these shops. And he goes, yeah, you're a bit of an Orchard Road kind of girl. And I'm like, yeah, I am actually. You know, Orchard Road in Singapore.
Now what's Orchard Road?
Orchard Road in Singapore is where all the posh stuff is,
all the fancy stuff.
Yeah, so I think that's sort of my life. So well, why would I waste my time on eating something that's cheap and blah when I can have something that's real and yum?
That's exactly right. And even if it like comes with the hotel, like the free breakfast, or I've already paid for this $6 Starbucks coffee, you're like, well, I've already paid for it. No, if it's not good, I just threw that sucker away. I like to waste money, right? But wasting the coffee inside my body that was gross was not going to solve that I had already wasted the money, right? I love that. And being a food snob is a badge that I will wear. So is there anything that you struggle with?
Struggle with fasting? Well, I'm kind of talked about the things that I wish was different about like my sleeping and that kind of stuff. But I think the ADF, that doesn't sort of seem to work for me. The things that I want to get better at with fasting is listening to my body more. Sometimes I eat too much. Is that the satiety?
Satiety.
And I've never really been good at it. Like just, I was thinking about this the other day, thinking even in childbirth, people would say, oh, I remember when I hit transition and then it all changed. I'm like, oh, I don't remember that. Like, I don't. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, it just happened. When somebody was there telling me what to do and you did it. And it's just, I haven't ever really been really good at listening to my body. But often I'll eat dinner and go, yeah, probably didn't need to eat that much.
Yeah, that still happens to me more often than people would probably believe because I'm Jen Stevens and I'm maintaining my weight. I'm sitting here in my size zero jeans that I bought in, 2016? I don't know whenever I bought these jeans, but 2017, one of those years. But I still eat past the hunger signal more frequently than you would believe. But because the food is so good. Like, I'm like, well, I really have had enough, but there's a little bit more on the plate. And then there's Chad over there with one bite left, and he's like, I'm done. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'll eat that.
Leave that.
Yeah. I'll eat that off your plate.
I'm also a sweet tooth, and I love to bake. And it's just like, I'm going to close my window, and I'm not going to eat again for another 21 hours. So
you want to get it in.
I have to have that biscuit that I'm seeing there because I just want it. So, yeah, so I guess that, you know, tweaking it till it's easy, I'm still tweaking.
Well, and it's part of being human is when we're enjoying a sensory experience, like there's a cookie over there and I made it and I want to eat it because it's my window and I have to wait 24 hours to have it again. That's just human to say we're going to have it.
But at the same time, like people will say to me, tell me about fasting, whatever. And so you tell them about it and you sort of think, oh, I'm still not very good at this. I'm still learning and I'm still, and like people will say to me, well, what happens? And I'm like, well, your food goes in and then it goes through your liver and it goes into your fat stores. And I'm like, I really don't understand the science, but it's fascinating. You know, when you do understand it in the autophagy and the what your liver does and the ketosis and it hitting your brain and all, I don't understand all of that, but it doesn't stop me talking about it. And so, yes, tweak it till it's easy. I'm still tweaking. There's still stuff I need to learn. Still stuff, weight I want to lose. There's still, like you talk about, body recomposition. So I went to a 50th birthday party in the middle of this year, so in May this year. So it had been nearly a whole year that I hadn't lost any weight. And as we're walking in, my girlfriend saw me as we were walking. She said, have you lost more weight? I said, no, I haven't. I haven't lost a single kilo more. And she said, well, you look different. And I'm like, well, that's probably just everything moving around. And I don't really understand it.
Yeah.
Body I don't recomposition understand happening. It, but I'll keep doing it.
And here's the thing about what you just said about not being able to explain it or not understanding it all. Honestly, there's a lot of stuff going on. Like the parts that I explained in Fast, Feast, Repeat are like just like the tip of the iceberg about what our body is doing. Like the parts I talked about the liver, that's just one little thing that the liver does. The liver does a lot of other things too. So it's like teachers, we like to oversimplify things because then you understand what you need to know.
It doesn't stop you talking about something. It doesn't stop you being really excited about something. And I think as humans, we probably think we're pretty crash hot with what we know, but we don't know so much. I remember when my kids were babies, I think the oldest one, we went to, we had a sleep school in New Zealand and I was having some issues with my baby and you go to what they call Plunket and you go there and you have this Karatani nurse, there's somebody who specializes in lactation and all of that kind of stuff. I was talking to her and she was just like, if I read all day, every day about lactation, about what the body can do to feed this young baby, I would spend all day reading because they're learning stuff all the time about how good our bodies are at nourishing and feeding and nurturing and all of these things.
And there's a lot going on. There are literally thousands, millions, I don't even know how many things are going on, how many processes are going on in our bodies all the time and all these little tiny cells all over the place and all of our tissues, our organs, our systems, everything working on doing its own thing. The body is really, really complicated.
And that was one more thing I was going to say is my body gets really sleepy when I eat. And just that whole idea of digestion being
taking energy,
a taxing thing on your body. You take all this food and then your body's got to do something with that.
Yeah, it really is. Once you understand why you feel so much better when you're fasting during the productive parts of your day, you're like, well, that makes perfect sense. And then you understand, you know, you think about the lions that are feasting and then they all take a nap. They all lay down.
That's right, yeah. But even like your salivary glands, you're making them work all the time if you're eating all the time.
And that's the magic of fasting. And people all have different opinions out there. There are still people out there who think that the only reason fasting works is because it allows you to eat fewer calories. Let's say that is the truth. If that is the only thing that it does, if that's the only thing it does, well, that's worth it because it's easier than the way we used to try to do it. But we know, I mean, when you were trying to have the summer of salads, the lump on your leg didn't go anywhere.
That's right. Yeah.
So we know that giving our body that digestive rest and time to work on repair is powerful, doing a lot of things.
And it's been really interesting talking to people about fasting. And I don't know whether you were going to bring this question up as well, but just that whole idea of people are going to be ready when they're ready. to hear it. And sometimes,
yeah, that's true.
And you talk to people and you're telling them all the stuff about what it's doing and blah, blah, blah. But they'll come back, oh, you're still starving yourself, or you're, and I've talked to a few people and they're like, oh, well, I'll give it a go, but then they give up or whatever. And I remember for me, I sort of look at it and like, you really need this. You really need fasting. You need to try it. You need to be persistent and all of that. My mum and her office years ago in our original house had a sign on a wall that said, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I think to myself,
I think
to myself, when they are ready to start fasting, they know where to come, because I've planted the seed, and if they want to come back and talk to me about it, and I've had quite a few people come back and say, oh, I've lost 5 kilos, or I'm feeling so much better, or I had a friend in New Zealand, her husband, both of them are doing it, and her husband said, I've saved so much time. I get up in the morning, I go to work. You know, it's just, so all of these things.
It's so important what you just said. Plant the seed. They may not be ready. You can't want it for somebody else. They have to want it for themselves and they have to be ready. And just because they're poo-pooing it now, look, I've put poo-poo in again. Just because they're poo-pooing you right now and saying, no, I can't, that's too hard, I don't want to do it, whatever, doesn't mean that that seed will not get down in those cracks and eventually it'll germinate and it'll sprout right out.
And possibly they'll have a visit to the doctor like I did in November 2020.
Well, and even if they're like super like rude about it at the time, you planted that seed. And I feel like we kind of just owe it to people to let them know if we have something, if they're concerned about something and we have an answer that could help them, we share it. And if they don't want to pick it up, we walk away. That's okay. So we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
I think tweak it till it's easy is what we've been talking about. Just, it's not everything is going to be your experience, but just maybe keep listening to the podcast because there are lots of different experiences out there and something will resonate with you. So just keep trying. Don't give up. And I think, I guess from coming from me, I'm quite an impulsive person. As soon as my sister said it on the 11th of March, 2021, I was starting, you know, but I had got to the point of being a little bit desperate. But if you are at that point where you're sort of thinking, I have to make a change, just try and be really consistent and persistent. Just keep trying.
And don't quit, really, just keep going. Don't quit. Quitting will not make it go
better.
And
coming back to the data, use the data, but also maybe even just write yourself a qualitative list of what are the things that are changing. Is it a lump on your leg? Is your hair going curlier? You know, is your skin smoother? Or maybe it's just your mindset. How are you thinking about things? Like, it stunned me soon after fasting that I realized that a lot of our reward system is built around food, and that blew my mind. It was just things like, if you finish your dinner, you can have dessert. Or it's the last day of school, let's all go get a milkshake. You know, and a lot of our reward system is built around that. So I think maybe just journaling some of those things and writing down, when is food the focus? When is just that kind of stuff? So maybe just gather the data. Gather the data.
Data nerds unite. I mean, the data tells the story, right? That's exactly right.
And it might not just be the number. It might be something else that you're noticing. Just write that down and go, you know what? Why am I getting so cold? That's one of those other things that I still get very, very cold. And I don't know whether fasting's like, just bringing all the heat into the organs or whatever it's doing.
Our body directs the blood flow away from the extremities and you feel cold. It's like mobilizing the fat stores instead. So you're like, ooh, I'm a little cold.
So just gather all that data and just see if, and then that will motivate you to keep going and go, hang on a minute. Yeah, it is working. Or my brain works at 2 p.m. Write that down.
And look for all those wins.
Wins. That's right. Yeah.
Well, Robin, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.